الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته، وما للظالمين من أنصار. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا، ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. صدق الله العظيم. Just apologies for the last week, and after Eid we were closed, so yeah, some of us were off while others were working. And just before I forget, next week inshallah I will not be available because somebody in the family is going for a small procedure, so we'll be busy next week inshallah. The verses which we were discussing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the people of intellect and intelligence those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every posture. يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا while standing, وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ while lying down on their beds. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ and they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, تَفَكَّرُوا فِي خَلْقِ اللَّهِ to ponder over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَكَّرُوا فِي اللَّهِ do not try to comprehend or think about the reality of the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are taught in Sharia what we need to believe regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the things we need to know about our iman and aqidah and creed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. He has brought everything into existence from non-existence. He is the only being who is wajibul wujud. Wajibul wujud means that being who is in existence by himself. There is no beginning to his existence. Everything else came into existence through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the visible or invisible creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the saying of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is that al-ajzu an darak al-idraki idraku, that the inability to be able to comprehend, a person acknowledges that I'm unable to comprehend the reality of the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means he's comprehended who he is. He knows that he is the creation of Allah and he can't comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important that we understand the fundamental belief which Imam al-Ghazali rahmahullah says should even be taught to children, is that we learn the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we learn when we are in maktab as small children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sami', he's basir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, he's all seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does as he wills. لا يسأل عما يفعل. He's not questioned with regards to whatever he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is عالم الغيب والشهادة. His knowledge is all-encompassing. He knows everything to minute detail of what will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قدير. Allah is all-powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different to his creation. So anything which is in the mind of a human being can never be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not restricted to any place. He doesn't have time. Time is something which is related to the life of a human being. In fact, even in the existence of a human being, there are stages in our existence in which there is no relation to time. And if I forget where we started from, just remember we're talking about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in time is something related to creation. It doesn't affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the creation of Allah, past, present and future. A person is in this world, and in his life he's got a past, he's got the present moment, and he's got the future which he is concerned about. But as soon as death comes, the reality of time no longer applies to him. Otherwise sometimes we think, yeah, imagine the person who lived in the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he's so long in his qabr, thousands and thousands of years. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, then Sayyidina Salih, and all the Anbiya alayhi salam, from the time of the Sahaba, 1,400 years have passed. So long in their graves. Yet Allah says in the Quran that when the people will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, they'll ask one another, how long will we? They say, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. They will say, no, we're in our graves. Maybe just one evening, for one evening, or maybe one part of a morning. So the reality of time doesn't affect a person in the qabr. Time is related, it's a creation that Allah has put in our life in this world. And this is why in Suratul Kahf, the sleepers of the cave for 309 years they slept. When they woke up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and preserved their bodies for 309 years to show that life and death is a creation of Allah. And in between life and death, which is the phase of time, is also the creation of Allah. So they woke up and they said, "Qala kam labistum? How long have you been sleeping here?" So the one said, "Labisna yawman aw ba'da yawm." Maybe we slept a long, we were tired. So maybe a whole day or maybe half a day. And they slept for 309 years. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from the need of time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from any need. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah doesn't need any of His creation. Not Jibreel, not Mikael, not Israfil, not the Anbiya alayhimus salam. Allah is in need of nothing. Allah created the Arsh, which is the biggest known creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the minutest creation which might still have to be discovered is also in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge and He has full control of it. And after He has created it, He has full control of it. It doesn't leave the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, all our needs are presented only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need, if you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So, we are instructed that ponder over the creation of Allah. So you look at the creation of Allah, people study various sciences, they become doctors, they study the anatomy, they realize the beauty and the intricacies of the various parts and components of the body of one human being. And if a person attributes it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that medicine becomes a means of his iman becoming strong. It becomes a means of his deen becoming strong, because he's attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the same person can say, "Well, let me study more and let's go back and perhaps attribute it to some incident or some accident or some event which is beyond our control." Then that same person can be moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through something which could have led him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pondering over the creation of Allah, what is in the heavens and the earth. يَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is why it's so important also for us to realize and understand that we do not have any image in our mind with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not picture anything about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah doesn't have a form. He's the creator of forms. So when we say the arsh, the kursi, the samawat, the heavens, the earth, the concrete objects in this world, and all the other planets which Allah had created, and all the other solar systems which are in existence, all the other millions of galaxies which are in existence, all the stars which all fall under the first heaven, they are the creation of Allah. It means that in Arabic it is said, masbuq bil adam. They are preceded by non-existence. Everything was preceded by non-existence. And in order for it to come into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it into existence. So even the arsh is a creation of Allah, which means the arsh was non-existent, Allah brought it into existence. Everything we know in the present form, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa as-samawat. That praise be only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the samawat, the heavens. Wal-ard, Allah has created the earth. وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. Allah created various types of darknesses. وَالنُّورِ. And Allah created nur. So now we know that these two come in, they are opposites, light and darkness. The absence of light is darkness, the absence of darkness is light. They come together. But in this verse we are taught that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought darkness into existence from non-existence and light into existence from non-existence, which means there was a period in which there was no light and no darkness. And we can't imagine that. See, if we can't imagine that which Allah has created, how can we imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is why we are told, don't think about Allah. You ponder over those things which will express and strengthen the greatness, love for the greatness of Allah in your heart. So speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He created various things, how He showed the signs of His qudra in His creation. He created mountains, He created camels, He created birds that can fly over the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean for 9 or 10 continuous days under minus 50 degrees without stopping. that same bird you slaughtered to put in the freezer under -5, -6 and it's frozen. It flies -50 for 9 days and it's not frozen. And Allah keeps it alive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all these beautiful signs in His creation. These are signs of the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a sign of the Qudra. The Qudra of Allah is His attribute and His sifa, His quality. And that is beyond our comprehension. Because like we cannot understand and comprehend the reality of His being, we cannot even comprehend the reality of His attributes. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears without the need of ears. Allah doesn't have a need for eardrum and ears and a body part in order to hear. We require the air to carry sound to our ears. We require external light to be able to see with our eyes. We require the object to be in front of us without any obstacle in order for us to see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's vision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight is without limits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is without any limits. So therefore there's only a similarity in the name, but the reality is totally, totally different. So وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. You know, when we sometimes talk about this, then some people say, yeah, Sheikh, don't talk all this. It's like, it makes your brains hot, you feel like, how are you? So yesterday I was talking to some of our graduates who came from Mauritius to visit. They qualified a few years ago. So they were asking, how do you speak to children about educating them about the correct belief so that it grows within them from a small age? I explained to them the same thing that we're talking about. Then I said to them, I said, you know, they come from Mauritius and Reunion, they were the French. Huh? I said, in your schools, do they tell the children stories of like three bears, mama bear, papa bear, and baby bear, you know, and then in Goldilocks?
Yeah.
They said, yeah, we've got stories like that. I said, in Little Red Riding Hood, and she's walking through the woods, and the wolf comes, and the wolf swallows her, the granny up, and swallows her up also, and the father comes with a chopper and takes her, right? They said, yeah, we've got all those stories. The gingerbread man, yeah, all those stories. So I said, then nobody thinks that, how can you talk nonsense like that to a child? That the wolf swallowed a whole person up, and then you cut the wolf open, and then the little red, Hansel and Gretel, and the witch with the chicken's leg that he put through the case to make it looks like his turn. All that nonsense we read to our children. And then we don't find it strange. No, it's okay. It's for, we haven't even applied our minds to think that it's nonsense. It doesn't even make sense. Honestly speaking, many of the things, to say it in the masjid also, I feel ashamed. Hickory dickory dock. You remember that? I'm just thinking about it now. Now, what does that mean? What hikmah, what quality, what attributes does that instill in the heart of a child? So it wasn't only the stage of this modern technology when they got this blue whale thing which people are mutilating themselves about and children are killing themselves in different parts of the world. It's not only that, all these things are the same. The people just didn't know. That lady who was the writer of many of this children's stories, she herself didn't like children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our families or to practice or mention some of the things we hear now, why does it feel so overwhelming and difficult that we can't mention this to our children? What are they going to understand? They're not going to understand. It's too complicating. And we want to tell them about Big Bang Theory, which in reality didn't even happen. It's a theory. And the theory remains a theory until it's provable and it can be witnessed. And nobody has witnessed that. So it's merely a theory. And some people even try to prove it through the Quran. They say that the Big Bang happened through the Quran. Whereas the verse of the Quran doesn't establish what they're trying to prove. In any case, we should develop a habit of being able to speak about certain things and turning our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that to the Sahaba of normal circumstance, and he would turn it, they walked past the garbage dump and there was the carcass of a dead goat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "May yashtari hadha bi dirhamin?" Who wants to buy this carcass here for one dirham? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, "We don't want to stand near to it. Who's going to want to buy it?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The value of the dunya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is less than the value you have for this thing." So it's a normal circumstance, but he turns the attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we neglect this, the more we become affected by constantly being bombarded with the apparent things of this dunya. The zahir thing, everything which keeps us engrossed, our phones and things on our phones and this app and that app and this program and that program. You've got so many programs on TV, you don't have enough hours in a day to watch all the programs. If a person wants to watch all the programs, you get some people who like couch potatoes, they just have to sit. Maybe they don't have any work. The only work they got is with the DSTV. So if they decide then to watch everything, they wouldn't be able to watch everything. Because the amount of hours in your day isn't sufficient. That's how much the effort of shaitan and the people of shaitan have made to keep people focused on that which is just in front of them. So they become an empty vessel just being fed with what is thrown. And that's the understanding of deen also. That's the understanding of Islam. So if you ask a normal Muslim about his understanding of deen, his impression of deen is what he hears from the media, what he hears on CNN or what he hears on Al Jazeera. The understanding of deen is that much. The same dislike the kuffar have for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims sometimes develop the same thing. Because he's being fed by the same thing. So a kafir and a Muslim gets the same feed continuously. He's going to start talking like that. So a lion that grows up with sheep will think it's also a sheep until he looks in the mirror. And he goes and drinks water and realizes, I don't look like the sheep. We need to look in the mirror and realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the best of, and we have been sent for the guidance of mankind. In other words, every person out on the street is our responsibility to wish well for the person, to display the best akhlaq, to display that which we have learned of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today a person asks us about, we don't know what to say about deen. We don't know how to, people will ask a question about, and non-Muslims are studying various things which are used as objections against Islam. Because whatever ISIS is doing or all these groups are doing in the name of deen, that is what they are being taught. And they're hearing about that. So now they say, oh, but hey, now you got jizya. One person told me, hey, a non-Muslim asked me about jizya. Now who of us ever heard in a Friday talk on Jumu'ah about jizya? Jizya is a tax which is paid by a non-Muslim citizen in a Darul Islam. So they say, you see, your way of life discriminates between Muslim and non-Muslim. No? You say, okay, so now there's one of two options. We can either say, you know what, I don't know, I didn't study it. Or we can say, yeah, you're right, you know what, these sheikhs and these ma'anas, they distorted the deen, and let's invent something new. The new age of enlightenment. And this is where people are going. So, it doesn't apply to our time. The sharia, na'udhu billah, they say, doesn't apply to our time. Whereas, first see what the jurists have explained, what is the meaning of jizya, what is the amount. It's not even equal to a few hundred rands, which has to be given by a non-Muslim, because there's no tax. In the Islamic system, you don't charge people income tax. There's no income tax, there's no GST, there's no VAT. People, what they earn belongs to them. So you're seeing, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some people, they see the splint in the eye of another person, but there's a tree trunk in his own eye, you can't see it. Your own country takes half of your salary, and then when you need the money in retirement, they don't give it to you also. Because the medical aid takes most of it. When you're sick, your whole life, you earn money. When you're healthy, you earn money to use at a stage that when you're old, to buy your health back. All the money that you've accumulated to buy your health back. So this is the tartib of kuffar. So there's jizya in Darul Islam. Muslims, they've got to contribute the zakah every year, 2.5% of the wealth that you have. It goes to the Baytul Mal, and the Amir will use it according to the needs of the community. Now, non-Muslim doesn't give zakah. So you're making a minimal contribution. That amount that you give, is that a monthly amount? It's yearly. So you give that 200-300 rands
for a year to contribute for the maintenance of the normal municipality and the normal things that people that are required services for. That's your contribution. What issue do you have with that? Now, if you can explain it to somebody, then you realize that you rather prefer living in a Muslim environment, and also in that environment, by giving that the contribution, you have exactly the same right as a Muslim. Nobody can abuse you. If somebody abuses you or kills one of those non-Muslims living, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that person who kills a non-Muslim living in a Muslim country will never smell the fragrance of Jannah. So this is why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum at one stage, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid, they signed an agreement with a particular country in Sham, or a city, that let's have a truce up to the end of a month, for 1 month. And thereafter you decide what you're going to do, will we engage in battle or not. So before the month came to an end, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, he prepared his army to move close to the border, the boundary of that city. And as they were moving, the small villages that were in that particular place, it was an opportunity for them. They all became Muslim. Whoever wanted to became Muslim, and the others, but they moved closer to the boundary. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in every ummah there is one Amin. Now the person who is soaked in being trustworthy. In other words, if trustworthiness was like a drink, he soaked in it. And in my ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. So he said, Khalid, what are you doing? He said, what are we doing? He said, we agreed that we are not going to engage until 1 month has passed. So Khalid radiallahu said, I know that we haven't engaged. I'm just preparing the army because the time is about to expire, then we need to be prepared. He said, no, that's not how that is not being trustworthy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له. That person who is not trustworthy, his iman is incomplete. So by moving, you are already showing that you want to engage. That is a step towards engaging the opponent. So that goes against the temperament of deen. We're going back. So Sayyidina Khalid said, yes, you're right. This is a quality of a mu'min also. If you make a mistake, say, I made a mistake, and yes, you're right. This is something we've forgotten. This is one teacher always tells me, you know what, my son, this is a time where you can't tell anybody anything and nobody is prepared to listen. It doesn't matter how nice you tell it to them. They say, yeah, this man is just being lastakh. So Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah made the whole army return to the point that they were. And as they're returning, all those villagers are saying, please, where are you people going? They said, no, don't leave us here. We don't want to be part of them. We prefer this way of life. Because we're safe and secure, we can do what we want to, and there's adl and justice. In that few days that they passed, accidentally also, and it wasn't an open breaking of a breach of contract or of agreement, but there was some type of deception in the apparent form of the activity. Yet these people were eager to rather remain on the side of the Muslims. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, sometimes at the end of a battle when there would be an exchange of prisoners, so they would stand, there would be two rows, the two armies are standing, and then they give the prisoner the option. The Muslims would say, okay, if you want to, you can go across. So they say, many times the prisoner would say, no, I prefer staying here. So they say the Sahaba would make a louder takbir at that time than they would make when they're engaging in jihad. Because one person has now been saved from the fire of Jahannam. Our purpose in life is not to send people to hell. Unlike what the image is of Islam today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these in people of intellect are the ones who ponder over the creation of Allah. And they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. They ponder and they say, oh Allah, you have not created this in vain. Subhanaka, you are pure and free from any defect. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَهَا. Oh Allah, those people who have been entered into the fire of Jahannam, most certainly you have humiliated them. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And there will be no helpers for the true oppressors. رَبَّنَا. And this is the dua of these intelligent people. إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا. Oh Allah, we have heard. Munadiyan yunadi. We have heard the call of the caller. That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munadi lil iman. Who has called towards iman. An aminu bi rabbikum. We have been told, bring iman in your Lord. Fa'amanna. Oh Allah, we bring iman. Rabbana faghfir lana. Oh Allah, now we ask for forgiveness. Faghfir lana dhunubana. Wakaffir anna sayyatina. Expiate for us our sins. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ and allow us to die with your pious servants. So this is a very, very beautiful dua. That we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon all the mistakes. And all of us have those mistakes. And we ask Allah to give us death with those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why in the Shafi'i madhab, they say that if a person passes away, to move the janazah to another country is not permissible. Nowadays we find in somebody, if a person passes away, they say, no, this is a kafir country, rather let me go back to Pakistan. Now Pakistan is not the most pious of countries in any case. But they want to go back to Pakistan because this is a kafir country. For the kafir country, it's okay to earn your money and to rob the people for... Astaghfirullah. So the Shafi'iyya, the ulama of the Shafi'i madhab, they say the only time you're allowed to move is like, for example, if a person passes away in a location and not very far from there, maybe in another town, there's in the cemetery there's the graves of some Sahaba or some pious people or people who are known to be scholars of deen. So in order for this person to be blessed with the company, even in Barzakh, you're allowed to take them. So a person passes away close to Makkah Mukarramah. He didn't die in Makkah. Then to take him to Makkah for his janazah to be performed there and for him to be buried in Makkah or Madinah Munawwara, there's no harm in that. But a person passes away somewhere, then he should be buried in the place that he passes away. And the person is, if he's a student of deen, in other words, he makes the intention of learning, which we can all make. You don't have to be formally admitted into an institute, but a person makes the intention, I'm a student of deen. Whatever Allah allows me to learn, I will learn. If he dies, then in Jannah, he will be given a palace equal to the size of the distance from his house to the place where he passed away. So if a person went to Makkah, he went for Umrah also, but he made the intention, what the Umrah, I want to learn also. And he passes away there. Then from Joburg to Makkah, that will be the size of a palace given to him in Jannah. And a person who passes away with the intention of acquiring the knowledge of deen, sincerely, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses him to protect deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Qiyamah, بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّبِيِّينَ دَرَجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. There will be only one difference or one level. He'll be one level lower than that of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Anbiya alayhi salam will be in the highest level of Jannah, and the person who constantly wants to learn and improve himself will be one level lower than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. And the last dua is, Rabbana wa atina ma wa'attana ala rusulik. O Allah, we ask you to bless us with that which you have promised to your messengers. Wa la tukhzina yawm al-qiyamah. And we beg that you do not disgrace us and humiliate us on the day of Qiyamah, because hisab is in front of the entire mankind. A person feels embarrassed in a meeting to be embarrassed, or in a public gathering to be embarrassed is so humiliating and degrading. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present, Anbiya alayhim as-salam are there. May Allah protect us from disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. Innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. Wallah, you are the one that does not go against the promise. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst the successful ones who will be blessed with the company of the pious and the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wa s-salam on the day of Qiyamah, inshaAllah.